Prabhupad, Prabhupad, Jaya Prabhupad. Jaya, Jaya Prabhupad, 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 Jaya Prabhupad. Jo Premanandi, Jaya Vishnupad Pram Saparivraj Kachare Stranshi Shimad is the Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. Jaya Vishnupad Pram Saparivraj Kacharya Saranshi Shimad is the Vangresh Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur Prabhupada Ki Jaya. Ananti Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jaya. Namachari Shri Haridas Thakur Ki Jaya. Prem Shaho Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jaya. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gogabinata Shamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govanana Ki Jaya. Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jaya. Shri Navadut Dham Ki Jaya. Shri Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jaya. Gangamai ki jai, Jamunimai ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Samaveda Bhakta Brinda ki jai, all glorious to the small devotees, all glorious to the small devotees, all glorious to the devotees, Grantaraj Mad Bhagavatam ki jai, all glorious to Srila Prabhupada. So you'll have to excuse me, I have a little bit of a cold, so my voice is somewhat off. But we'll do our best. As you have been informed and you know, these verses are somewhat difficult to chant, so we won't chant the verse. But we'll go for the word for word, and then the translation and the purport by Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from the fifth canto, chapter 14, text 4, Force of Enjoyment. This is questions inquired by Maharaj Parikshit to Sukadev Goswami. So the word for word, yata, just as, he, certainly, anuvasaram, every year, krishyamanam, being plowed, api, although, adagda bijam, in which the seeds are not burnt, chetram, the field, Puna, again, Eva, certainly, Avapanakale, at the times for sowing the seeds, Gulma, by bushes, Trina, by grasses, Virudbi, by the creepers, Gavaramiva, like the bower, which means like a shade, being shaded by a tree. Bhavati becomes evam, thus eva, certainly, griha ashrama, family life, karma kshetram, the field of activities, yasmin, in which, na, not, he, certainly, karmani utsadanti, fruitive activities disappear, yat, therefore, ayam, this, kamakaranda, the storehouse of fruitive desire, esha, this, avasata, abode, translation, every year the plowman plows over his grain field, completely uprooting all weeds. Nonetheless, the seeds lie there, and not being completely burnt, again come up with the plants sown in the field. Even after being plowed under, the weeds come up densely. Similarly, the Grihastha ashram, family life, is a field of fruitive activity. Unless the desire to enjoy family life is completely burnt out, it grows up again and again. Even though camphor may be removed from a pot, the pot nonetheless retains the aroma of camphor. As long as the seeds of desire are not destroyed, fruitive activities are not destroyed. So please repeat. Every year the plowman plows over his grain field, completely uprooting all weeds. Nonetheless, the seeds lie there, and not being completely burnt, again come up with the plant sown in the field. Even after being plowed under, the weeds come up densely. Similarly, the Grihastha ashram, family life, is a field of fruitive activity. Unless the desire to enjoy family life is completely burnt out, it grows up again and again. Even though camphor may be removed from a pot, the pot nonetheless retains the aroma of camphor. As long as the seeds of desire are not destroyed, fruitive activities are not destroyed. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Unless one's desire are completely transferred to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the desire for family life continues, even after one has taken sannyas. Sometimes in our society, ISKCON, a person out of sentiment may take sannyas, but because his desires are not burnt completely, he again takes to family life, even at the risk of losing his prestige and disgracing his good name. These strong desires can be burnt out completely when one is fully engaged in the service of the Lord in devotional service. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjala Shalakaya Chakshun Umnitamnina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Namo Bhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Swam Badam Dikam Vanchakao Paturubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Bhavcha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Shri Mati Bhakti Vidanta Swam Niti Namane Namaste Saravati Devi Gauravani Bhsharini Nivisasa Sinyakari Pasachari Sutarini Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunitananda Shri Dvaita Garara Shiva Sarigora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So there are many things to say, so I decided to take some notes if you don't mind. So here, of course, this was probably written some 40 years ago. So Prabhupada is talking about the sannyasis falling down. We could also, unfortunately, add gurus to that list nowadays. So many have also fallen. So we understand that the material world is not an easy place to get out. Devi yesha gunimayi mamamaya jaratyaya mamivaye parpajante mayamitam tarantite. Durga, very, very difficult to surmount. It is impossible. So here, in the beginning, this chapter is called Material World as the Great Force of Enjoyment. And Maharaj Pariksit was inquiring from Sukadeva Goswami about this great force. Now, we also know that Maharaj Pariksit had first-hand experience of the suffering of this world, because the Pandavas, they went through so much suffering. They were such exalted personalities, so pious. They had Krishna as their best friend. They were entitled to have this huge kingdom, but it was not to be. And Dhritarashtra was the culprit, because Dhritarashtra was born blind, and he was feeling that this is such an injustice. But more than that is that he had to give his kingdom away to his brother Pandu. So this is even more an injustice. So When his brother Pandu passed away prematurely, he thought, yes, now this is my chance. Now my son Duryodhana, he will capture the kingdom. But unfortunately, that wasn't to be, because Yudhisthira was the eldest, and Yudhisthira was rightly the one to get the kingdom. So immediately, Dhritarashtra, although the uncle, he became so enraged and so angered at the Pandavas. And that bitterness grew and grew and was fanned by Sukuni. And poor Duryodhana, he kept drinking that poison day in and day out. And the whole thing became like a volcano, and it erupted on the battle of Kurukshetra. And poor Dhritarashtra, all his dreams were wiped. His 100 sons were killed. Even his dearest son, Dhritarashtra, was wiped out. So after the whole thing, his 100 sons were killed. Bhishma, Dronacharya, Sakuni, all of them were all wiped out. Dhritarashtra went back, although he had never left, but he stayed there, and he was being fed by his arch enemies, the Pandavas, Yudhisthira and others. They were being so kind to him. And in his mind he was thinking, oh, this kingdom is still mine. I'm still the heir, and these are my children taking care of me. It's simply natural. So Vidur, of course, he had left. He had went on pilgrimage, being insulted by Duryodhana. So when he came back and he saw the situation, he felt so sorry. Such a pitiful sight to see his brother, Dhritarashtra. So he started preaching to him that you're just like a dog being fed crumbs at the hands of the Pandavas. Now you're old. You've been blind your whole life, materially and spiritually. But now you're becoming feeble. Everything is falling apart. Don't stay here and rot. Have a little pride. Leave this place. Let us all go. So finally he convinced Dhritarashtra to leave and go. But this is the nature of the material world. We're all so attached. There's the story of Indra, how Indra became cursed to become a pig. We see the pigs in Vrindavan. And Brahma felt so much compassion, came to preach to him, to get him out. You're the king of heaven. What are you doing in the pig's body? But he was, in the West we say, a happy camper. He was very happy. He had his little piglets, he had his wife. Everything was so nice. So some arrangements were made that one after another they were killed, his wife was killed. Finally he was going to be killed. Then he woke up. Then he woke up. So this is the nature of the material world and what the Bhagavatam here is describing, that there is no enjoyment. But the illusion is very, very strong. The illusion is very strong. There's a story of the person who was going to the forest to pick up so many fruits, but then the tiger ran after him. So as he was running to avoid the tiger, he fell in a well that was covered, an abandoned well that was covered by grass. And as he fell, he was trying to hold on to a branch, but that branch was too weak. So he fell, and as he was falling at the bottom of the well, some root had grown in the well. So he hung up to that. So he thought, now, whew, I'm somewhat safe. But then he looked at the bottom of the well. There was this huge python waiting for him to fall, to be eaten. And at the top, the tiger was roaming around the well, trying to figure out how to get down there to grab him and eat his prey. And as he was situated like that, wondering what to do, all of a sudden this drop fell on his nose. And he couldn't ascertain, but then gradually could see this was honey. When he grabbed onto that branch, there was a honeycomb that broke and it started dripping honey. So it's falling on his nose, and then he started moving around trying to see how to adjust myself by which that honey can fall into my mouth and I can relish it. So Govinda Das, he says that in one of his bhajans, that we're like a drop of water on a leaf. You see a leaf, it has a small stem. As soon as the wind comes, it immediately it moves. and it also has like a waxy surface, so the water cannot penetrate. So we're standing like that thinking I'm safe. But at any moment, badang, we're finished. We fall off that leaf. But the attraction in the material world, it is so strong. It is described how the brahmachari, he is lamenting, thinking, oh, if I could find a nice wife. And the grihastha is thinking, oh, if I can only leave my wife. And the sannyasi is thinking, why did I leave my wife? So this is the nature of the material world. Everyone is lamenting, hankering for something. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatmana Sochaki Nesanchati Samarsaveshu Bhuteshu Madbhakti Nabhati Param, that only one after many, many births, he comes to real knowledge. He understands that Vasudev is everything. Unless we come to this platform of understanding that, even we take to the Grihastha Ashram as described here, it will not burn all the seeds. The papa, the desires within the heart will remain. But the process of Krishna consciousness is like frying the seeds. Once those seeds are fried, even if you plant them, they will not grow. But it requires art. It's a dangerous thing. This Grihastha Ashram. This is not an easy ashram to follow. All the ashrams are difficult. There's no simple ashram. It's difficult. There was the king who was going out with the mistress. So he gave an apple to her. But she was going out to the man who was taking care of the horses. So she gave the apple to him. But he was going out with the princess. So he gave the apple to the princess, and the princess gave the apple back to her father. In this way he understood everyone is simply cheating in the material world. There is no such thing as real love. In the material world, what we call love is actually lust. I, me, mine. Everything is for me. It's a world of exploitation. The spiritual world, love means a love world of dedication. We dedicate, we serve. Dasa, 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 anudas. That is the position that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described. So, in the previous verse, it was describing how the wife, the children, are compared to jackals, vultures, like that, wild animals that suck the vitality. Of course, that may be true, and we can get into that a bit. But we have to understand that Prabhupada said that the maya for a man is woman, and for a woman, maya is the men. So everyone is in maya in this material world. Everyone is thinking to be the enjoyer, but we are all purusha. We're not prakriti. Purusha, but we're prakriti. We're meant to be enjoyed by Krishna. This is why Krishna has expanded himself. But in our illusion, we think, okay, if I expand, if I get a family, I'll have all these wonderful children and wife and everyone that I can enjoy. I can expand. So Prabhupada described it just like salt. Even Madan Mohan, he was feeling with Sanatana Goswami that you're giving me this butter, just flour and water mixed together. There's not even any salt. How can I eat this? So Sanatana Goswami said, okay, today you want salt. Then tomorrow you'll want ghee. And the day after you'll want some honey. I cannot afford these things. So you be satisfied. So the life is like that. We're taking some sabji, no salt. It's a little bland. We put a little salt, that is Grihastha Ashram. It is somewhat palatable. But if you put too much salt, that is Grihamidhi. Then it's unpalatable. If something has too much salt, then you cannot eat. So it is a fine line between Grihastha life and Grihamidhi. So the problem is not, Prabhupada used to say that men is good, woman is good, together it is bad. So therefore, why is it bad? Because it enhances the intoxication, the enjoyment spirit. Just like wine, what is wine? Wine is simply fermented fruit. But when you drink it, because it has alcohol, it's been fermented, it produces a bad effect. Therefore, it has to be licensed. Similarly, marriage has to be licensed because it can create chaos. Arjuna is very concerned that if he killed all these soldiers, what would happen? There'd be no one to protect the woman. And unprotected women meant unwanted children that would create havoc in society. So Prabhupada used to say, you can produce children, but don't produce cats and dogs. Produce nice Vaishnavas. Krishna says, I'm sex life, according to religious principles. So it is not the problem. It's like a knife. The knife is not the problem. I can take a knife and I can kill someone. But I can also take a knife and operate someone and save that person's life. The knife is not the problem. It's the consciousness by which I do things. And therefore, in the Vaishnavas, we accept all the ashrams. We accept Grihastha ashram, Brahmacharya ashram, Vanaprastha sannyas. These are all ashrams. They're meant to help us progress in spiritual life. And Prabhupada explains in the 8th canto, in the story of Gajendra. Gajendra was an elephant, but he was bitten by the alligator, and he was not in his environment, he was in the water. So he mentally became feeble, not being feeling strong, that I'm not on solid environment. And the alligator thought, oh, I'm in the water, I'm very strong. So he was very easy, anxious to fight. So Prabhupada in one purport, this was not long after one sannyasi had fallen from his sannyas, as Prabhupada mentions here. Prabhupada wrote a purport. He said, we have declared war on Maya. So when you declare war, you have to be prepared to fight. So you have to choose your best strategic position. What is your strongest position? Just like in the war, sometimes they'll fight on land, the army. Some will fight in the air, aviation. Some will fight on the water, the marines. Some will go underneath the water in submarines. But everyone is fighting. Everyone is fighting the war. So it's not a question of this ashram, that ashram. Bhakti Vinod was Grihastha. Bhakti Siddhanta was Naistiki Brahmachari. We don't discriminate. So, oh, Bhakti Siddhanta was very advanced. Bhakti Vinod, no. No, they're all very exalted. Very exalted. So, at the same time, there was one point when Prabhupada did express some concerns that so many women were coming to the movement and they were taking brahmacharis, the good brahmacharis, and he said, these women are very clever. They know where to find good husbands. So he was concerned because when you do get married, it is a distraction from preaching, from serving, because now you have to maintain Jaya Jaya Shishi Gonitaya Shish Krishna Balaram Shishi Radha Shama Sundar. You have to maintain. When Srila Prabhupada first went for his job application at Dr. Bosch's pharmaceutical company, the first question they asked him wasn't, what is your qualification? What is your diploma? What experience do you have? No. They asked him, are you a married person? They wanted to know. Why? Because a married person, he's stable. He cannot go anywhere. He has responsibility. Sannyasi, brahmachari, they can walk out, leave. But grihastha cannot. So that was their concern, that will he be a responsible person? So Prabhupada called this society the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And unlike the Gaudiya Math, he accepted so many women. He said, what could I do? They came to me. I had to give them shelter. So society means women. Otherwise, it's a monastic life. When you have society, you have women, then you have children, then you need schools, then you need houses, you need work. Everything develops from that. So Prabhupada formed a society where the men and women could come and serve Krishna. And the reason is that all the ashrams are purifying. So it can be compared just like a fire. Sometimes we compare samsara dava nanalila loka, that it's like a blazing fire, and the spiritual master comes with the clouds and he extinguishes that fire with the clouds. As Krishna says in the Gita, with the sword of knowledge fight. So sometimes if there's a house fire here, of course in India you don't have that, everyone's made of cement, but in the West things are made of wood, so sometimes the house is on fire, so the fire brigade, they come, the firemen come, and they extinguish the fire. So this is like brahmacharya life. You have a low attraction, but through sadhana, you can remain fixed and not get distracted. But when there's a bigger fire, forest fire, 1,000 acres is burning, then what do? You cannot just put some loaf water on it. The fire is so intense, immediately it evaporates the water. So how to extinguish that fire? So you have a fire, let's say it started in the north and it's coming down south. So it cannot go back because all the forest is burnt. So it has to continue going south. So what the fire brigade do is they light another fire at the south end and they direct it going north. So one fire is coming south, one south's coming north, and they meet together and they get extinguished. Because nothing is left to burn. If there is no material, combustible material, then the fire extinguishes. So this is Grihastha life. Man is lusty, woman's lusty, they get together, you have two fires, oh, big problem now. The whole thing. But because there's direction from the guru, it's an ashram, it's not wildfire, it's directed, there's principles to be followed. So then the bhakti is to be applied. Then it is regulated control fire, then they gradually meet, and that fire extinguishes, and when it extinguishes, it becomes vanaprastha. Then there's another fire that is very dangerous too. That is the well fire. When they're digging for oil, just like, I don't know here in India, but in Canada, when you put petrol in your car, you have to turn off the engine. Because the engine is making some sparks. If the fumes of the petrol goes there, poof, the whole thing can catch on fire. So if you leave your engine on and the police sees that, they can get a big fine, big amount, because very dangerous. So when they're digging the well for petrol, then the machinery is on. When as soon as the gas comes out, poof, it ignites a fire. Now what to do? It's petrol, you cannot put water on it. So then you have to dynamite. You have to use dynamite. You install dynamite between the gas and the fire. And when you blow that, you make that explosion, you separate the flame from the combustible, from the gas. And therefore, there's no more fire to burn the gas. But it's very tricky, very dangerous. That is sannyas life. You blow up everything. Social suicide, Prabhupada describes sannyas. But it's very dangerous. Because if you fall, you cannot fall on anything. The grihastha, if he falls, he falls on his wife, the better half. She's there to protect him from his own mind, from his own weaknesses. But the sannyas, he has nothing. So, in the Bhagavatam, many times it describes how the woman is the stri, the object of sense gratification. So, don't take it too bad if you have a woman's body. Try to understand that ultimately we're spirit souls. We're not women, we're not men. But the Bhagavatam describes how when Brahma was creating, he tried to get the Kumaras. He created the Kumaras and he wanted them to progenate, but they, no. And he couldn't in any way, to the point where he became so angered that from his forehead Shiva came out. So then he was thinking what to do, how to motivate. So he created a daughter, Vak. But she was so beautiful that he himself became enamored and he ran after her. And his sons were all bewildered. What he's doing? Brahma has so much knowledge, so much gyan. How is he running after his own daughter? So this example is there to show that we should not take anything lightly. Bhaktisiddhanta, he would not even meet with his own daughter. Not daughter, but his young disciple. Obiel Kapoor, Adikeshava, he had his wife, they were young. Prabhupada witnessed this. And she said, oh, Guru Maharaj, I want to speak to you. He said, yes, you can speak. No, no, in private. He said, no, that cannot be. You speak here in front of everyone, but not in private. Although he was the age of his grandfather. She was just a young child. But he refused. So this is example. One has to be very careful. Prabhupada said that, of course, in India you don't have that. But in the West, women and men, they can go on the altar. Prabhupada said, you have to be very careful. Because men is like butter, and women is like fire. If they get close, the butter will melt. So it has to be very careful. So the woman was formed, was created for to entice the men. Just like we also read when the demons They were churning the ocean and the demigods and nectar came out. What form did Krishna assume? Mohini Murti. He came in the woman form to bewilder the demons. And he started playing a ball. And the breasts were going up and down and the demons were very impressed. Prabhupada was saying how the men like to see the woman posing like this. So this is the attractive feature. Lust and greed in the material world. So one has to be careful about this. The illusion is there. The illusory energy. Of course, in the spiritual world, who attracts Krishna? Radharani. Of course, the material world is a perverted reflection of that spiritual world. So here we have the woman attracting the men. But in the spiritual world, it is Radharani attracting Krishna. So how to get out of this? Here it describes how, even though the farmer, he's removing so many seeds, but there are always seeds staying there, and they'll grow. Because the seeds, the weeds, they grow much better. Why? Because it's their natural habitat. Just like you go to Delhi, there's the domestic airport, international airport. Domestic means local. International means foreign. So when you're growing stuff, I know I do a little garden at home, you're growing tomatoes, different things, it's not the natural plant that would grow there. You're trying to bring this plant there. So as soon as it gets a little cold, a little dry, it needs more fertilizer, more everything, because it's not naturally growing there. But the weeds, immediately, in Canada, as soon as the snow starts melting, they're the first things to grow. Poof. But you cannot plant anything for another month. It's too cold. But they're growing like anything. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he described that the creeper of Bhakti Lata Beach, that when you're sowing a garden, you have to be very vigilant. Because at first, the small creepers, they all look the same. So you might be removing all the good plants and keeping the weeds. In the form of what? Pratishtha. Profit, adoration, distinction. So Lord Chaitanya said, Nadanamna janamna sundarim kavitam vavishavikame, that I don't want any number of followers. I don't want wealth by desire by everyone. I don't want any number of followers. I just want devotional service, birth after birth. This is what we should be aiming for. But it's very difficult to attain. This material world is so big. But it describes how it can be reduced to the size of the hoof of a calf. So how does that take place? It's through our consciousness. The sun looks very small because it is very far. It looks like a small disc, although it's bigger than the earth. And if I take my thumb, although this is so big, and I bring it so close, you'll all disappear. So it is a question of closeness. Now we've made Krishna very far. So he has disappeared. And we've made this material world very big. Oh, this world will satisfy all my desires. Like Prabhupada said, New York, it's such a place that you can definitely be illusioned to think that you'll be happy there. Everything is there. The lights, the show, the music, so many things, entertainment, alcohol, everything. So it becomes bewildering. So what is the process of Krishna consciousness? Process of Krishna consciousness to associate with Krishna. Just like you meet someone, you don't know that person. There's no attraction, no attachment. But then you start talking, and then he comes again, and you talk. And then when you invite him to your house, and you eat together, and then he invites you to his house, and you eat. And then you start doing things together, and gradually, attachment. People are smoking. They don't take birth smoking. But because they become associate with the cigarette, they become attached automatically. Then they cannot give it up. So that is our process, to associate with Krishna. Through Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, the eight process of devotional service. And through that association, we'll naturally become attached to Krishna. That's what we want. We want to become attached to Krishna. So it becomes a very natural process. It's not artificial. It may seem artificial because we're suffering from jaundice disease, problem. is there, just like jaundice, when you take sugar, it tastes bitter because you have liver problem. But the more you take, then it will cure that jaundice disease. And then the sugar will taste. So this material world, for us, seems very natural. And the spiritual world appears very foreign. But gradually, by the process of devotional service, then Krishna consciousness will become very natural. And the material world will become very foreign. We won't have any attraction for the material world. But we have become very careful that we don't get captured. Just like the hunters, how do they capture the monkey? They tie one lota with a small hole and put some nuts. So the monkey slides his hand, grabs the nuts, but then he cannot pull out. Because now his hands become big. If he lets go the nut, he can slide. But now he's attached. I want them. The hunter comes and captures him. The fish, he sees the worm because he cannot control his tongue. Then, poof, he bites the worm and he gets hooked, captured. The male elephant, how did they capture him? Big. They dig a hole. They put a she elephant on the other side. He comes running. La, 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 la. Falls in the hole. Gets captured. The deer, play nice flute. He becomes stunned. Gets captured. The insects, they see the light. Here in India you don't have, in the West they're very demoniac. They have these zappers, it's like a neon light, and then there's a cage that's electrified, so when the fly comes in, zzz, it gets killed instantly. But because it's attracted to the light, immediately it gets zapped. So in this way, all these different animals, they get captured. And we're the biggest animal. We have all our senses so powerful. But Krishna has blessed us with buddhi, with some intelligence. But Krishna says that with the higher self, you control the lower self. So we have to be intelligent. We are the architect of our destiny. We can decide what to do. It is not a question of genes, like the scientists say. It's all rubbish. It's a question of desire. We have come to this material world because of desire, not because of genes. And we can get out of this material world by desires. That is up to us. So therefore we have to find good association in the form of devotees, form of coming here in Vrindavan. We're so blessed. Prabhupada has built these temples for us to come, associate together. All we have to do is sit here. We have nothing to do. Devotees have worked hard to build these temples on our behalf. Thousands of people are coming, getting the darshan, getting prasadam, hearing the holy name, getting so blessed. So we just have to have the open attitude. Unfortunately, in the West, there's so much prejudice. They cannot appreciate the beauty of Krishna. How you cannot appreciate Krishna? You just say Krishna and brings a smile on your lips. It's such a beautiful name. Can you imagine anything so sweet? Maduram, maduram. It is the sweetest of the sweet. The most auspicious of all auspiciousness. Anyone who comes in touch, even unfavorably. Even Putana, she was unfavorable. Put some poison to kill Krishna. Krishna was so kind, he blessed her to become like his mother. So anyone who comes in touch with Krishna, he becomes so blessed. We don't realize how fortunate we are. It hasn't really dawned on us. Because if we realized it, our hairs would stand up on him. Our sikhas would go up. We'd be so much in ecstasy, realizing how fortunate we are. But that will come eventually. Just like a drop of water hits the big stone, bang, bang. But eventually it will wear through that stone. Although it's just water. Or sometimes we've all seen how the weeds, soft weed, you can just cut it, but it's gone through cement or asphalt. You wonder how, mystic power, how has it gone through? You cannot put your finger, even if you take a stick, you cannot go through that asphalt. But this soft weed has gone through it. So if we make our hearts become very soft, then we can overcome this material energy. If we make our hearts hard like a rock, then the beauty of Krishna consciousness will not penetrate. But if we make our hearts very soft, this is the Vaishnav's heart is very soft. He's paradukaduki. He's very kind to everyone. He's very sensitive. Just like Prabhupada in Mayapur, when he saw the children fighting the dogs for the food that we were throwing over the wall, tears came into his eyes. He didn't say, oh, bodily conception. He could have. He's not on the bodily platform. He could have said, oh, it's just bodily platform, material attachment. But he didn't say that. He said, no, no one, 50 miles radius, no one should be hungry in Mayapur. You immediately organize that everyone should be fed. He had tears in his eyes. This is the compassion of the pure devotee. Prabhupada used to say, Vedic culture is what? Do good to others. Not be selfish, but you do good to others. Try to help someone. So, of course, some of us are, of you are residents, many of us are not. We're going to be going back to our countries. So we have to keep that in mind, that somehow, even though these materialists are hard like rocks, we have to somehow penetrate Krishna consciousness in their hearts for their own good. For their own good. They don't know that we're trying to bless them. They may not appreciate. We may not have appreciated in the beginning when we met devotees. But now we can see the true value of it. So, one time when Prabhupada came to Philadelphia, they asked the question to Srila Prabhupada about that sometimes the materialists, the karmis, they find us very aggressive because they're going to about their business and we're stopping them and imposing ourselves and giving them a book. And they say, why are you pushing your thing on us? But we're supposed to be Trinadapi, Sunichena. We're supposed to be so humble. But we're so aggressive. How is that? So Prabhupada said, we're very humble at the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He has ordered us to spread Krishna consciousness. Therefore, on this order, we're surrendering, bowing down to that instruction. And therefore, they may appreciate or not appreciate. They may see us as aggressive or not. But what can you do? Just like when there's an epidemic, the doctors come and they force vaccination. People may want, may not want, but they force. Because they know this has to be done. Otherwise, everyone will get disease. So we have to be like that. We have to impose ourselves, not be weak. We have nothing to lose. Krishna is saying that we should preach. So we have nothing to lose. We should be bold and preach Krishna consciousness, not compromise. Prabhupada said, I never compromised. When Dr. Mishra told Prabhupada, oh, here in the West, these methods will not work. People are used to eating with forks and spoons. Prabhupada said, I didn't come here to learn the Western culture. I came here to give. And then why he said that I didn't cheat you. You take the Krishna consciousness, that will be very nice. If you don't, I have done my business. I have given it to you. Now you take or you don't take. That is not under my control. So we have to have that detachment that we're giving, and Krishna is in the heart, ultimately. So if the person is praying, Krishna, O Lord, please save me from this material existence, then Krishna will send a devotee, and then he will be open to hearing about Krishna. But even if he's not open, still we have to give him something. Like Prabhupada here in Vrindavan, when someone would come, he would always make sure to take prasadam. He would always make sure the person would take prasadam. This is also a secret of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prasadam. Give some prasadam. He's guaranteed human form of life. Wipes out all his sinful reactions. Clean slate. So then he can start fresh. If you're in the bank and you're in the red, then you have to go back to zero. So you have to work to get to that level, and then you can start adding. So most people are in the red. They're not pious. So if they take prasadam, at least they clean slate. Then they can be open for Krishna consciousness. So let's see. Anything else? One other thing, when Srila Prabhupada came to Toronto, there were many brahmacharis there, especially the temple president. He was thinking of getting married. So devotees were thinking, okay, this is a fall down. So we asked Prabhupada, oh Prabhupada, now if brahmachari get married, is it considered a fall down? Prabhupada said, where's the question of falling down when you're at the bottom of the well? So we have to do what we have to do. You're grihastha, brahmachari, whatever. And if we organize our society nicely, then we can take advantage of all these ashrams. Because actually, the stomach of society is the grihastha. In Vaishnava society, in Vedic society, only one group of people work, the grihastha. Vaishya, grihastha. They're the only ones who support the whole society. The kings don't work, they get tax. The sudras, they don't work. They're maintained. The brahmins don't work. They're maintained. The kshatriyas, they levy taxes like that. So the only one who really works, the brahmacharis, they don't work, is the grihastha. So we have grihasthas. We have to encourage them. They have a license to make money. So make money. Don't be afraid to make money. We need money in this society. Everyone is always coming, begging money. But don't become captured. Catch the big fish, but don't get wet. Go out, make some money, but don't forget that money belongs to Krishna. And that should be the impetus to making money. But don't think, okay, I will make $1 million, and then when I make $1 million, I'll give it to Krishna. No, every day you should give. Just like every day we're eating, every day we're sleeping, every day we're showering. So every day there should be something given to Krishna. And if you make $1 million, good. But you could die tomorrow, and then you haven't given anything. So this understanding has to be there. But the grihasthas, they have the license to make money. So sometimes we preach renunciation. But that renunciation means that I can take it, but not use it for myself. That is real Vaishnava renunciation. Not that I give up. What can I give up? It all belongs to Krishna. But I have to give up the illusion that it belongs to me. The illusion that I am the enjoyer. And the renunciation means that I can have $1 million there, but I have no attraction to spend it. Not that I'm poor, okay, I'm renounced. Because I'm so poor, I have no means. But the minute you give me means, oh, now I'm buying this big car and I'm doing this, I'm doing that. That's not renunciation. Renunciation means you have the means to do it. You have the capacity to do it, but you have no interest. That is real renunciation. That is the stage we have to come to, where the capacity is there, but there is no interest. But not the minute there's something, then immediately I become bewildered. I leave Krishna. Now I inherited money from my parents. Now I don't need Krishna. Then I can go and enjoy again. No. There is no enjoyment in this world. That conviction at least we have to have. If we're going to take the Krishna consciousness seriously, this is what Queen Kunti is saying. As long as there's some illusion, Vaishvarya above and all that, the beauty, some fame, some renown like that, then we cannot take the Krishna consciousness seriously. We have to be finished with all these things. And the way to do that, like Prabhupada said, if you like to dress yourself nicely, then you dress the deities nicely. Then that desire, that propensity will be applied to Krishna. So whatever propensity we have, then we can dovetail it for Krishna, and that way we'll become purified. So I'll stop here. I hope some of you have some questions or some comments. Yes, Maharaj? Is there a mic?
Haribol, thank you for a very clear presentation, and also with some transcendental passion behind it, some actual enthusiasm, which I could use a big dose of, so I hope some of it rubs off on me. I was just thinking that one theme in your lecture was this idea of doing good to others, and how we even may sometimes seem to be aggressive, etc. We have to be tolerant. In Bhagavad Gita, the term sarvabhuta hite rataha comes up twice, in 5.25 and 12.3. Although in the 12th chapter, it's in the context of a progressive impersonalist, we could say. But in the purport to 5.25, Srila Prabhupada says very clearly that really only a devotee can really be said to be engaged in the welfare work of everyone. So in this theme, we're encouraged not to go the direction of Bhajanandi, but more Gostiyanandi, to preach. And I was just, I guess this is a comment, I was just reading yesterday a book by Gaur Govinda Swami, and he was pointing out another aspect you were discussing, was there in the verse, is the Grihastha Ashram. And he was making a very, illuminating point, enlightening point, that one way of understanding the difference between Grihastha and Grihamedi is that the Grihastha is always looking for the welfare of others. Like we hear in Vedic culture, the Grihastha is going to take food. They'll first go to their doorstep and announce very loudly, if anyone is hungry, come and eat. And then they would eat after they fed anyone who came. This is also the idea of Atiti that Gaur Govinda Maharaj was talking about, how a Grihastha, he'll be so service, he'll be so, such a wonderful service attitude towards the guests that come. Whereas the Grihamedi, he may have all kinds of opulence and he'll say, I'm a very poor man, this is all I have, give him half a cup of rice and that's it. So there's many different applications, but it would seem that in whatever ashram that we're in, that the direction that we want to go is to try to cultivate this feeling. Like in that song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, Sri Agya Tahala. When will the sacred order to go out and preach the holy name, when will they have the right to go out? When will Kabe Jiva Doya, when will the compassion for all living entities arise in my heart, and with a pure heart I can set out and preach the holy name? So this is for myself, it's on my wish list, although it's late in the game, but as they say, better late than never. So I'm going to try to have more determination to extend myself more and try to contact. I was told that I'm good for preaching, I'm not even so good at that, but good for preaching internal, you know, amongst the like initiated devotees or, you know. But actually we really need to, as you're helping me remember, get out there and contact the non-devotees and somehow or another try to, as you say, penetrate their hard heart and give them something of devotion. Prabhupada's mercy. So anyway, if you have any feedback on my comment, I'd like to hear. Hare Krishna.
Well, there's a story that Prabhupada tells about the sage that went to see these materialistic people, and he was knocking on the door, and the wife told her husband, what is it? Oh, some sadhu, you know, they want something, some beggar. So, oh, he wants something, okay, take some ashes from the fire and give it to him, you know. So they gave some ashes, and the sadhu was thinking, okay, you've started, you've given something better than nothing, you've started your devotion, you know. So materialistic people like that, you know, they're not very open to giving. They want to keep everything from themselves. So there's that story is there, given. But is there any other some comments or questions? One, two, three. Thank you very much. Yes.
It's not a question, it's just a simple observation I'm having. I heard one song in a Bollywood song, I remember, after listening this lecture, I remember that song. But I don't want to use this sentences out. But my question is, if there is this world, God knew already that this world is dukkhalayam ashashvatam, and why he deliberately created this world just to put us, I mean, we are responsible for being in here, but he knew very well, I mean, knew very well that we are tend to become very greedy and being here. So why he deliberately put so much so-called pleasure in this world to remain indulged, and we are entangled in this world?
Well, he put some enjoyment, but he put a lot of suffering too. But we're too dull-headed that we forget that there's so much suffering. People work all, I don't know here in India, but in the West, people work all year to go on vacation for 2 weeks. You know? So, there it is. But we want to be illusion. Just like someone is going to see a movie. Huh? So you sit next to him and you...